One of the partnerships we have here at Robinhood Radio is with the Foundation for Community Health. We air interviews with organizations that the foundation has helped in the forms of getting started, giving advice, never actually running what these organizations do, but providing invaluable help in what they do. And about once a year, we speak with Nancy Heaton, who is the CEO of the Foundation of Community Health. And this is one of those times. Nancy, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
You know, one of the reasons we do the different interviews with the different organizations that you help is to let people know out there who know of the Foundation for Community Health by name, but not sure of what the foundation does. And we'd like to highlight what you do. Let's take a look now. We're in 2022, coming out of the pandemic, where we're just about finished with the word pandemic, and it's, we just realized that COVID's going to be with us for a while. Let's have an update on what the foundation, where it stands right now in the late summer of 2022.
Sure, and I also just would like to add that our hope with this series is also to make sure that people are aware of all the wonderful organizations that are out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the work that they're doing, because that's one of the things that happens in rural areas is people don't actually know where to look for help because they don't often look for help.
And to go along with that, before I let you keep going, I plugged it this morning, and we're going to do an interview with them, but one of the people that you help, one of the organizations, the Northwest Cares Help Book is now out and available. And to me, this booklet is an invaluable resource for anybody that lives in the northwest corner of Connecticut.
Yeah, it's going to be very helpful. Plus, it's also going to be online, which makes it even more accessible.
Yeah. So where do you stand now as we are post-pandemic?
It's post-pandemic, and it's also, believe it or not, by next June, it'll be our 20th year. I didn't even realize that till recently. But right now, we are actually in our second year of our strategic plan, which, you know, we did take the time during the pandemic to kind of reassess and refocus all of our work and in light of all of the new realities. And so we feel like we really made all the right choices, because the pandemic showed, for example, what organizations needed more support to do the work that they did, what kind of community assets we have and don't have, or what needs strengthening. And so we are focused in the strategic plan on strengthening our local organizations and networks and nonprofit health, or helping community. We're also focused in the strategic plan on improving community assets, and you know, what can the libraries do, or what can community health centers do, or that kind of thing. And then the last thing is supporting local decision making, and that's really the newest thing that we are working on. It's new to us, and one aspect of that is that Health And series that you may have heard of.
Well, that was going to be my next question. When I first saw it, I said, oh, there's a typo. It's just Health And.
No, and I keep calling it Health, et cetera, but that's not true either.
So let's talk about this, why it was developed, and explain in detail exactly what it is and how it works.
Well, it really is one of the things we thought about under supporting local decision-making, which is, you know, a new thing for us. So this series is designed to just explore and share ways that health influences, and talk about how health influences every aspect of our lives, and vice versa, how our life circumstances impact our health. So a lot of people may have heard of the term social determinants of health, but it's basically, you know, anything that sort of interacts with your life. So it could be your social system. It could be any number of things that actually impact your life, your job, or your job opportunities, your housing situation. Do you have access to food? All of these things influence your health just as much as, you know, the genetics you are born with or the actual care that clinical care that you may or may not have received. And we thought that's a community discussion, right? It's communities that solve and that can come up with ways to improve the environment in which people live and work in. So this series is an attempt to focus on that. Now, we want to spark conversation, encourage new thinking, and inform, you know, more local decision making.
Now, your first series is called Health in Rural Communities. Explain a little bit about that and how people participate in.
Well, in that case, we thought, well, let's start with something really broad. You know, how are we different? You know, how is the environment different? And it's pretty well known that people in rural areas actually face unique challenges and have a specific framework for living. Right, there's less likely to have access to care. There's larger distances, transportation's an issue. Their health outcomes statistically are usually worse. But there are ways to mitigate some of those things, since 20% of the U.S. population lives in rural areas. So we not only wanted to say, yes, there are things that are negative about living in rural areas, there's also positive things that will help that are in rural areas, and that there are some solutions that are working towards resolving this issue of the health disparities that exist in a rural community.
And
that's what this paper does.
Yeah, it's become even more apparent, actually, with the loss of local practitioners of for healthcare, or the combination of services, where towns really now have to look to the future, how to keep that providing going. And I think that your organization, the Foundation for Community Health, is going to have to play a vital role in that.
Well, we're hoping to make sure that people are engaged and understand, what some of the risk factors are that they can, what can they do to even just avoid clinical, accessing clinical services or becoming acutely ill. So that's one aspect of this, of our work. But it's also more concretely, when we're looking at our strategic plan, we know that one thing that can help strengthen rural access is to invest in federally qualified health centers. Once they're established, they have federal funding, they're sustainable, and they particularly target people with regardless of ability to pay. So it could be someone with a health insurance or someone with no money at all who can go to these federally qualified health centers. And so they're given perks by the feds to serve communities, so they can get physicians through programs that help pay for their education or cover their malpractice insurance, or there's a number of different things. And so, federally qualified health centers and school-based health centers, which may or may not be from the same source, are two ways of delivering decentralized care, primary care in a community. And with strong primary care, which is something that we actually do not have in our communities, you can do a lot of prevention work, and therefore people would be accessing acute services much less, if you could get that out there.
Now, when you talk about school-based, I think one of the big programs that, due to COVID, due to a million different factors, took a long time to introduce, but at the end of the school year last year, it's now introduced and it's there, and that is the school-based health center at Weebatuck in that school district.
Yes, so that was one of the more exciting things, and we've talked about it a couple of times on this show, but when the community itself, and that's what we're hoping to do with this health and this thing, is to actually get the community thinking and talking about it. But in Weebatuck, the community itself, sparked by their local school nurse, came to the conclusion that what they needed to do to help their young people in their community feel and be healthier was to bring a federally qualified health center, school-based health center, into their school. And they came to us with this idea, and we're like, how can we help? We just helped them how they wanted us to help them. So that's also part of our new approach. So what they needed was literally money to construct the facility, and once the organization is in there, the organization's financials show that it is able to be sustainable once it's in the school. And so that was super exciting for us and super exciting for the community. I went to the opening, and there were tears by even school board members about how this facility, which will offer full mental health services as well as primary care and dental services, is going to change the outcomes for their children at Weeputuck.
And what's great about it is it's so local that even other community other school districts and communities can see it and understand it. Exactly. And maybe it's something that can be repeated.
Exactly. I mean, one thing we actually have done since almost the time I've started here was to offer free in-school dental, preventive services, oral health services, and that's a part of it. But if we could introduce primary care and mental health services within the district, the confines of the school building itself, how much easier is access for everyone involved?
It's a great program, and it's so great to see it come to fruition, especially when COVID-19 really interrupted the flow of energy to get the project up and running.
The schools were closed.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing that through all that, it persevered, and it's up and running now. And it's a model that people now in this area can take a look at and say, well, hey, maybe that's something we might investigate in the future.
Mm-hmm. And really, it's truly the community that brought it to the table. And that's our goal, is really to get the community to understand what it can do and how much power it can have once they engage with their community and have consensus on moving forward on a project.
Well, Nancy, keep up the great work at the foundation. For more information, of course, people can contact you by your website. We'll put this up on our on-demand page as well. Like I said, an invaluable asset to so many different nonprofit organizations and community organizations that benefit people in our entire Tri-State region. Good work, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, take care of yourself.
All right. Nancy Heaton, CEO, Foundation for Community Health, here on Robin Hood Radio.